Well done, guys, for leading. Enver, for leading. I think there's just been so many words, and those words have confirmed, actually, that there is hope in the Lord. And maybe for you, you don't feel there's hope. Or maybe there's an area in your life where you're feeling, I've lost hope, actually. I've pulled away from the Lord. And this area has become dark, actually, because it's something that you haven't tended to before the Lord. And I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you that tonight there is hope. And as I'm going to go into the Word, but I just trust even as we read the Word, because I'm going to read a chapter for us, that the Word sinks into us, and there's something of just as the Word comes to us, that hope comes, and God gives us direction and gives you direction, actually, in what the Lord wants to do in your life. And so we're going to continue on our series. This will be the last of the series that I've been doing on pleasing God, pleasing the Lord. And if you had to put a heading to that, it'd probably be imitators of God, a lifestyle that's pleasing to God. And so we talk about something that's in a lifestyle. You know, sometimes we see men and women and friends and that are saying one thing, that they're living for the Lord, but it's not necessary what happens. It's not in their actions, you know. And as for a father, there's nothing more pleasing for me than seeing my daughters as a believer living for the Lord and loving the Lord. For me, there's no, you know, it's for me, it's better than the highest qualification that they've got. The marrying the most amazing young man, and I do have two son-in-laws that are amazing. But for me, this thing of them following my example and following the Lord is something that is so so precious for me. That brings such joy and pleasure for me. More than any, you know, I could literally, for me, my purpose on this planet would be, in a sense, done. That I would be happy to go to the Lord now because I see it in my daughters. I see them serving the Lord. I see them flat out. And for me, that's a heart of a father. And it's the same as a heart for those that are leaders. This is a leader's heart, actually, that those that are part of the body are following the Lord flat out. And in 1 Thessalonians, this is a very, very interesting scripture or chapter, 1 Thessalonians. And I want to give you just what we are doing is we're living to please the Lord. This is Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 to 2 says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, and I mentioned this last week, we did this, but I thought I'd just remind you and put it out there in your mind so that you got this playing. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters. And so this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians, okay? And he says, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already. So they're already doing that. And we encourage you to do so more and more, even more. For you are reminded of what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Okay. And so there's a reminding of what he's taught. And you know, it's interesting because 1 Thessalonians, he writes this, and he'd gone and went to Thessalonica, and he'd only been there for 3 Sabbaths. That's basically 3 weekends. Some say it was maybe as up to 3 months. So we're talking about Paul going to Thessalonica, okay? Before he writes this letter, he's been there from shorter than 3 weeks to no longer than 2 to 3 months. So that's a very short time. It's about the same time that I've been here. It's that time. Okay. And so imagine now, he's come over there. There was persecution that broke out. And Paul had to flee out of Thessalonica. Because so he went there, he preached the gospel. People got saved. Prominent ladies got saved there. There was this. God did something amazing, okay. And then 3 weeks into that, persecution broke out, and there was a big riot in the town. And one of the believers had to put down a bond. Basically, he had to put down money to say this is not going to happen. So someone had paid a financial deposit to the governing authority over there to say that they're not going to continue this rioting. And there was a lot of persecution that broke out, and so Paul had to flee. So he's only there for the short time. And then he writes this letter probably a few months later. So it is very short. But I want to emphasize that because you can see the impact that this has on the believers. And for us, there's a picture over here which just gives us a beautiful picture of actually what it's like when you are saved, when you come to know the Lord. It's a beautiful picture of a people that have come to know the Lord. Okay, and so I want, you know, a lot of people say like, you know, what book should you read as a new believer? John, you know, that's what everybody says. But this could be actually a great book to read as a new believer because it gives you some real keys in what does a new believer look like. You know, and it's a good question for us is, are these things in our lives? Are these things visible in our lives? Because then it's actually a test of the genuineness of our faith. And so I'm going to read this to you, and I'd like you to absorb it. So with that background, you've got just what's happening. And he's writing now a few months later, and he says to them, "We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We thank God for you, for all of you, and pray for you constantly. As we pray to the God, our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of the Lord Jesus Christ." So because he couldn't go back there, he sent Timothy to give a report. So in those few months after he left, he was so wanting, his heart longed to actually get back with those people. And in Thessalonica, but he couldn't get there. It says actually the Satan stopped him. There was opposition, and so his heart is crying out for these people, he sends Timothy to go back and find out how are they doing? You know, are they still bearing under that persecution? You know, sometimes when we, as believers, we face a bit of persecution, we pull back from the Lord. And actually, the Lord is calling us into that place of shining for him, even in hard times, even in persecutions. And they were, as a group of people, suffering heavily under persecution. Okay, and so he says, verse 4, "For we know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you, and has chosen you to be his people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what was said was true." And so we see two things over there that came not only with words, but with power. Yeah, I remember having As a student, I had a little bright orange beetle that I used to ride around in. Kegwin loved it because every time we'd go over a puddle, there was a hole in the floor and she'd get sprayed with some water from the road. I remember going along past one of the churches that we were part of or had been part of at that time, and I was waved down by two young guys that recognized me, and so I stopped and I picked them up and they jumped in, and obviously, you know, students, they're just wild as I was, but loved the Lord. And as we're traveling along, you know, we're driving along, and they suddenly saw someone on the side of the road, and they opened the window and they shouted out, "Jesus loves you!" Like this. And sorry, my voice went. I didn't want to shout too loud, but for me, it was a bit of a it was a bit grieving for me, actually. Because for me, there was no love in it. There was no concern for that person. It was just words. There was no power in those words. There was no love in those words. And so I had a discussion with them as after that in the car. But for me, I still remember that clearly. As you know, there's those that can bring words and those that live it out actually in power in their lives. And so so he said, when we came to you, and you're considering this is only like 3 weeks to 3 months, there's something about his words and the way and the power of the Holy Spirit in them. And the power of the Holy Spirit is not only just seeing signs and wonders. There's something about that they noticed about the life of Paul and Silas as they were there. Okay, so we're going to carry on. Did anyone follow which? Okay, not only with words. Okay, verse 6. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Greece throughout Macedonia and Achaia. That's northern and southern Greece, basically, in that time. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, and even beyond Achaia, Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. And Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we see the reason why, one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit's been given is so that we can be a witness of Him, a witness of God, a witness of who He is. And so there's power that He's given us in the Holy Spirit to live this out. I want us to also just, as we look at Paul's heart over here, I want you to grasp just the message of Paul and just his heart for the believers. And I want to just go through just a few scriptures, because I think that's something so key, is that we see his heart for the people there. Like I said, it's just 3 weeks. 3 weeks to 3 months, and there's a heart for the people, and there's a, those people's heart are connected to him. So in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 to 5, we see Paul's heart here. And so this is what we're looking at. We look at Paul's heart. What is his heart towards the saints over there and those that have come to know the Lord? He says, we always thank God for all of you, and we pray for you continually. And then going down to verse 4, it says, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. And then he carries on and says, for when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave you full assurance of what we said was true, as you know our concern for you and from the way that we lived when we were with you. So there was a concern, and the way that he lived amongst them showed just his heart actually for them. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, it says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make every demand of you, but instead, we were like children among you. He said, for we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives as well. And so there he's saying, I'm like a mother to you, actually, caring for you, like a mother cares. In 1 Thessalonians 2, he talks over here and he says, he talks about being a father to them. And he says that, verse 11, as you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live a life in a way that God would consider worthy. And so we see the heart of Paul for them as a mother and as a father, that they live actually in a way that pleases the Lord. That's the heart. The same as my heart for my kids and my girls is that they live for the Lord. So what are these ways? What are these ways? Because there's a way that Paul lived and a way that he taught them that actually enabled them to please God. And so if we look at that in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, verse 1 to 2, and it says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases the Lord. That's simple. That's as simple as it is. As we have taught you to live in a way that's pleasing. And remember, he constantly talks about when I was among you, as I lived among you, you saw how I lived, you saw how I responded, how I cared for you. You saw this thing, and you saw the way that I live. And so there was something about that that was teaching the believers how to please the Lord. But I want to give you the progress, or what is the progress of that, so that you can see it. And you know, it's as we are imitators of God, there's something. This is what we're called to be, is imitators of God. Every one of us are called to be imitators of God. But how does that happen? Yeah. And so in verse Thessalonians 1 verse 6. We can, if you got your Bible, because we're basically sitting in 1 Thessalonians 1. That's what we're jumping in and out of scriptures there. So if you got your Bible, you can open up and have a look over there. But 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, I'm going to just go back to that on. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. And so they received the message as, and this is a picture of those that have come to know the Lord. As they received the message, there's an assurance that God gives, and then there's a following of God, but there's also a following. Paul writes and he says, as you followed us, you followed the Lord. There was this following an example. Isn't that something that we desperately need in this, in our country, as leaders that we can follow? Yeah. I think there's a new president, Brian just mentioned in Zim, and he's old. He's like going to be 90 at the end of his term. In Malawi, sorry. And you know, is it the leader they want? And we hope that it is. But we need leaders that we can follow. We need leaders that can show us how to live, how to love, how to be available, how to show purity, how to walk in purity. We need leaders that are like that. That's what we need as in a body. We need to see that. There needs to be someone that we follow. Paul writes and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. There's got to be this following. And so there's this, not that we latching onto leaders and that's, and we don't, but we're following God in that. There's something about following a leader and then we're also following the Lord. And so this is what these Thessalonians did, is they were rescued, the gospel was preached, and they were taken out of promiscuity, they were taken out of different lifestyles, and they came to know the Lord. And this is what changed. And so there was the imitating Paul and following him and imitating the Lord. And it says over there that they turned from idols. And I think that's as we're coming to this picture of what does it look like when we give our life to the Lord? What does it look like in my life when I've given myself fully to the Lord? What is there that's going to change? And so the first thing that he says, and I want you to picture this, is there's a turning. So there's an idol. There's a turning away from idols. And what are those things? It's anything, actually. It's not the idols of old. There are so many idols. That's a daily walk for us as believers, is turning away from those things that want to place themselves above God, or we want to place above God. It might even be our family. It might be our work or making money or a vision of what my career should be or where I should be, or a 5-year plan of my success. That might be above the Lord. And so there's a turning away, actually, that's visible. Because remember, these guys were only saved for like a few months. 6 months. And there was already something visible in their life about them turning away from that stuff, the idols, and the things that were priorities in their life to the Lord. And it says they turned to serve the living and true God. And 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and your enduring hope because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a serving. If you can imagine a bowing in idol worship in our hearts, to then a bowing to the Lord Jesus and a serving of him. And there's a work, actually. There's a faithful work. There's a loving deeds as we look into a life that lives to the Lord, lives for the Lord. There's faith and trust in the Lord, but there's also love for one another. There's a visible love and care for one another that God puts in our hearts for each other as there's that turning to him and serving the Lord. And there's a hope, an enduring hope. There's not I'm waiting for the Lord. There's a trust. I'm waiting for the Savior, for the King of Kings to come again. And I am doing and living for him today. I'm not sitting back and relaxing. I'm reaching out. I'm trying to touch lives so that they can know the Lord, there's a hope that we have as believers that actually drives us forward, because we are hopeful and we know actually there's a certainty in us of what the Lord, that the Lord is coming back. That the Lord is coming back. And this was a lot of the concerns for the Thessalonians in that time. They were worried that actually, you know, my brother and sister have passed. Will I see them again? And so he's reassuring them in this letter. And I think it's a wonderful letter to read and just take what the Lord is doing. There was this faith imputed into them because the Lord is coming again. And so there's this model that we see of them turning from idols and serving the Lord. And then it says, and are looking forward to his coming. It's active. It's not a waiting. It's an active reaching the lost. It's an active doing what the Lord has called us to do, because we know he's coming back. There's a readiness. Remember that the scripture that talks about the 10 virgins that had the lamps, you know. Were they ready for the Lord, you know? And there's this readiness in us because the Lord is coming. And so there's this looking forward to his coming. And Paul writes that also to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, he says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." So he sends, in that context, he's talking to Timothy, and he says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young." And he was young. We're not too sure of what his age was, but I think he was very young, possibly late teenager to probably early 20s. Be an example to all believers. And so he says, in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encourage the believers, and teach them. And so what's happening here is there's a heart. Can you see the heart of Paul coming imputed into Timothy? There's a heart for his people. There's a heart to see them go into more. There's a heart for him to be an example that others can follow. And so there's this picture of, as we turn from those idols, we're following the example of others that love the Lord, and we're following the Lord actually that's pleasing to him. And then there's a change as we're looking forward to what God has, and we're looking, as we allow him, our example actually, what happens? What happens to these Thessalonians is, at first they weren't an example. At first, the Lord came and met them. And they, as they turned to the Lord, turned away from those idols to the Lord and followed him, it says that they actually became someone, they became examples to be followed throughout Greece, northern and southern Greece, in a matter of months. That's amazing. That's the power of God changing a life. You know, and so as we recognize that actually this is part of my life, actually. As I've come to the Lord, there's something about my life that others should be able to follow and say, I want to be like that. There should be a desire in us actually to be more Christ-like in that, so that others can see something of the Lord and say, I want to be like that. I want to follow. Help me. Yeah, in this area of my marriage, how can you help me walk this out? Because I see you've done it to the Lord. And that shouldn't just be leaders. That should be every believer. There should be this desire in us to actually allow the Lord into those areas so that we can shine him. There should be this turning away from those things and turning towards Him and serving the Lord Jesus. And I want to close with this. Acts 1 verse 8. It says, and I read it before, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, not just by words, but with the power of a changed life. In another scripture, it talks about what really matters. What really matters is that we're a new creation. In other words, there's a change in our life. That there's something about Christ that's seen. And so he says that telling people everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, there's something about our example leading others to the Lord. They follow our example and follow the Lord. You know, and maybe there's been an area in your life there's you've lost hope because there hasn't been that change, or it's been a very difficult thing to overcome, and it's just been kept in a dark place in your heart. And actually the Lord wants to bring hope, and He wants to give you His Holy Spirit to enable you actually to be His witness.